International relations. Or move this way. And Mr. Van Skagvig will do the same, the side with his team and all the parliamentary staff and PMG. Who's PMG? Yes.
Morning, everyone. My name is Agabu. I'm the committee secretary for the Select Committee on Trade and Intangible Relations. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Abdullah Hanif. I'm the researcher in the committee.
Morning, everyone. My name is Sherry Chen, permanent delegate presenting for Gauteng.
Morning, everybody. I'm Elza van Lingen from the Eastern Cape.
Of these, KZN.
Bafunani, Arunumuni, please take.
Good morning. My name is Vulelwa Seti. I'm the acting deputy director general responsible for tourism growth from the National Department of Tourism.
Good morning. My name is Anami Milan. I'm the acting deputy director general responsible for policy research, monitoring, and evaluation.
Good morning. My name is Ralph Ackerman. I'm the chief financial officer.
Morning to the chair and the committee. You see, we're all acting as a new department. I'm the acting director general for tourism. We're 20 days old. We feel like new babies, but we're proud to be here. Thanks.
Morning, everyone. I'm Mami Kumalo from South African Tourism, and I'm the accountant responsible for budget.
Morning, everyone. My name is Pariksha Gobi. I'm from South African Tourism, and I'm in charge of financial compliance and performance management.
I'm Christian Schultz. I'm from CNN Online.
I'm Gideon Bosman from PMG.
Thanks very much. Just before we start the two issues, we've got some apologies. Other members will be joining us. The program of Parliament is too tight. We're trying to catch up with the World Cup. So all committees are sitting in one way or the other. Secondly, that from myself, I hope the apology did come for the past workshop, Mr. Van Skagvig, that I couldn't attend. I just had to be reading somewhere to do something, but other members did attend, and the feedback was that it was a very good workshop. And because there is SA Tourism, I'm sure they're also going to get a letter that next week we'll be going to Gauteng as a committee. Gauteng, and most probably will cover one area in the northwest, that is Rustenburg, somewhere where they put a fence park in the rural area. But the issues that will be of interest to us next week will be the issues of signage for tourists as they enter the airport, as they go to hotels, as they go to stadiums. That's one thing we're going to check, signage, and also the accommodation for tourists. We'll visit as much as possible all the hotels where all these tourists are going to stay, just to check the readiness. We've been checking the stadia and all, but not the accommodation. So we'll be visiting the whole of next week, maybe most probably from Tuesday to Friday. So we'd like to have somebody from the department, because we'll be getting briefing, because we're getting there. Even in May, we'll also visit other areas, because the World Cup will only come once, so we've got to be sure. Even if we visit certain areas per week, that we are really 100% ready, we'll do that. And I think that's about all. And any other item, I'm sure we'll communicate with the department. But so far, 2 weeks back, we had a visit to the other all provinces. It was a parliamentary committee. We were satisfied with the progress, but however, there are still gaps. That is why we're going to Gauteng. Gauteng is hosting most tourists. We have tried to calculate 68 to 75% tourists will be in Gauteng. So we want to concentrate on Gauteng, and more especially on that unfinished hotel that is still being built, which has already been booked, but built. So we're checking the progress on that. But so far, the overall report was quite happy. We take note of the reports that are coming. I'm sure that the department will brief us about the expected tourists that are to come. You know, reports are in and out. The numbers will drop, others will increase. I'm sure someone will just give us a two-liner on that report after the presentation. And with the presentation, I'm sure most were set in the workshop. We have been informed, and we agree that we'll deal really with the budget and so on. Over to you, Mr. Van Skervik. And before you start, ever since there was a split, you have been a very good actor. would want you now to be over the acting. I'm sure my committee members will support me on that.
Thank you very much, Chair. And I think, as I've said, we're honored. And as a department, we're always looking forward to coming to the portfolio committee and select committees, because I think there's a lot of movement happening. Chair, perhaps just on the visit next week, I think it might be wise to invite or summons the officials from the LOC, Local Organizing Committee, and then from Gauteng Tourism, because quite a lot of the functions falls within their mandates. Like looking at the signage, the LOC and Gauteng is dealing with that. So we are on policy levels, and I think we will make sure that from our side, we will also perhaps get one of our ladies that's dealing with, who did a lot of, or was managing the research components. Because we've done two studies, one on accommodation, where we've proven that South Africa has got more than enough accommodation. And as you know, MATS has released a lot of accommodation now, which there's a sort of a over supply at this stage. And secondly, we've done a study on the pricing, which has shown that basically it's only two provinces where there is a little bit of price hikes, which was Gauteng and Northwest, but it was more on your lodges. And if you compare it by, say, they used to ask 300 rand, but they're asking 600 rand now, so it's 100% increase, but in real terms for a foreign in that sort of exchange rate, it's not that much. So I think it might be good to sort of have that those two groups involved in that. Chair, what we've been requested to do is to present the budget. Mr. Ralph Ackerman, who's the newly appointed CFO, but he used to be in the old Department of Environment and Tourism, will present our budget. What we've structured it is to sort of say where we've started, what we've asked when we did the split, what we've got, and perhaps then we can come to what we think is our shortfall, which we hope this committee in the outer years can assist us with. We've also invited SIT, an entity of the National Department, that if there is specific questions around SIT and their budget, we will talk on the high level. If needed, then they can sort of talk to sort of more the detail around marketing, around the financial assistance, and around the grading council. So if it's fine with you, Chair, then I'll hand over to Rob Ocker.
Excuse me, Rob, before you continue, let me ask the other members that joined us to introduce themselves. I did apologize on their behalf that you held up somewhere.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Chair. My name is Freddy Adams. I'm a permanent delegate of the Western Cape. Sorry that we were late, Chair, but we had to attend the Petitions Committee meeting also this morning.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Jomo Nyambi, permanent delegate to the NCOP from Mpumalanga province.
Thank you, Chairperson, members. We are a very small department. We put a small budget, and for that reason, I've only got a few slides. We started off in around about July, August last year, with our submission to National Treasury. And we knew that the country is in a recession. And for that reason, our request to National Treasury was very limited. But my first slide basically outlined the additional money that we requested from National Treasury. In the first year, we requested 168 million. The second year, 493 million. And in the outer year, 507 million. Now, this was our request to National Treasury. Now, on the next slide, you will see what we actually received from National Treasury. If you look at the additional funds allocated, and if we just focus on the current financial year, you will see that we basically got 47.7 million additional. But that 47 million was broken down into 10 million for capacity. So in effect, the department only got 10 million additional funding for that financial year. In the outer year, 15 million, and in the second year, 15, and in the outer year, 20 million. Then you will see that we also received compensation for our employees, for ourselves, and also for the officials of SAA Tourism. And then we received expanded public works program incentive, which is earmarked allocation specifically for the incentive program with strict conditions around it. 32 million, 41 million, and 47 million. The amount that we received from the Department of the Old Environmental Affairs and Tourism was the 1.155 million. You will see that National Treasury then came and they cut SA Tourism with 51 million, 54 million, 57 million. And that was done on the International Tourism Marketing Funding. So, in effect, if you look, we asked for 168 million. We basically got 10 million, but then there's also these other cuts that was affected. On the line below, you see the earmarked allocations. Now, these allocations are specific purposes. So, as a department, we cannot really use the money for anything else than what is earmarked for. The devolution of functions from public works, the 12 million, that is the leases of our building. Then we've got the expanded public works program, our social responsibility project, 265 million, and then the incentive program of 32 million. In total, our baseline allocation for this financial year is 1.15 million. If you then take off the earmarked funding, like the office accommodation, the 12 million, you also subtract the expanded public works program, it's 297 million, and then for SA Tourism, you also subtract the 631 million. And then we've got small transfers to the business trust, 14 million, and other transfers of 11 million. It leaves the department with only 159 million for our operational work. On the next slide, you will see that of the 159 million, if you look at that, those figures, 79 million of that is for our compensation of employees. Our goods and services is 78 million, and then our capital amount is basically 2 million rand. Chair and members, the compensation of our employees is not sufficient. We could not fund all our posts. Currently, we've got about 450 posts on our establishment that's approved. The actual people that we paid on the 1st of April
was 208. We tried to shift funds around to enable us to fill some more positions, and we managed to advertise another additional 100 posts, more or less. If you look at the spread of our budget, you can see the office accommodation is 1%, the money to the social responsibility projects is 26%, SA tourism 55%, our other small transfers is 4%, our compensation of employees is 7%, and then our operational budget is also 7%. If you count the social responsibility project back into your compensation of employees and goods and services budget, you see that we sit with a compensation of employee budget of 98 million. This is the figure that you will also see in your estimate of national expenditure, that is that red book. There you can see our goods and services standing at 97 million, and that nearly gives us a ratio of 1-to-1. For compensation and for operational. Now, if you look at the estimate of national expenditure and you compare our department with other departments, such as sport and recreation, their ratio is 1-to-1.6 for operational. So you can see that our operational budget is very limited. If you look at communication, it's also 1-to-2. Our old Department of Environment Affairs, they want to 1.6, and the National Treasury is also 1-to-1.7. So obviously you can see that our operational budget needs to be amended over the NTF period. We will, in our next round of the NTF, we will definitely request National Treasury to up our operational budget. Because it will make no sense that we fill our posts that the people cannot do their work. On the next slide, it just gives an overview of our departmental programs. We've got four programs: administration, tourism development, tourism growth, policy, research, monitoring, and evaluation. And there you can see the amounts: 124 million, 316 million. 655 million, 11 million, and then the total of 1.1 billion. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members.
You did indicate that, you're trying to say that department is small, but they do really come in small packets, and they do a lot. So what the department can do is far more than what it is budgeted for. Honourable members have heard the presentation. Can ask questions, comments, clarity, Honourable Adams, Honourable Mguni.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks for the CFO for the presentation as well. Chair, excuse me, I'm just a bit worried. Maybe the CFO can, he must give us a clarification and answers to that. The acting DG is nodding his head, so please. My first question, is the DG now been appointed or is he still acting? That's the first one. The second one, Chair. I see in your MTIF allocation for your programs between 2010-11, 2011-12, there has been a decrease and then an increase again. Isn't it then that the tourism growth sector should forecast to have an increase? Because it seems now that the tourism sector are only focusing on the World Cup, and then after the World Cup, it looks, isn't it that tourism has got a problem that beyond the World Cup, but why is this decrease and in there? Also, yeah, I see on the transfers, that's good, because the transfers are getting less. there was another one that I was just... also then on goods and services, I see that there is okay that they must accrue the goods and services. But what is tourism doing in terms of the employees and the vacancy rate that we have heard from the CFO in terms of that check? Thanks.
Just 2 points of clarity, Chairperson. There's there's a fund for public works incentives. I don't know what incentives are those. And then there's a trust, business trust. What is the trust for, and what role does it play in the department?
Honorable Adams, then Honorable Nyambi.
I just forgot something. Just to say, you know, that I've got a policy that if credit where credit is due, and I think that the department has done well to be in the same norm as the other established department, so that there was a split in the department. It's good.
Honorable Nyambi.
Thanks, Chair. The first one has been correctly captured by Honorable Mukuni. But with that as it may, in that one of the expanded public works program, can you elaborate maybe how do you make distinction between the expanded public works program and the incentive in the very same program so that we can be able to understand?
Chairman, thank you very much. The bulk of the funds goes to SA Tourism, and you did say we have SA Tourism with us. So the question is, do we have a report on their budget in detail like yours, and what kind of oversight do you play over SA Tourism?
Thank you very much, Chair. let me start by saying that, and to explain to the committee, when we set up a new department, we've set up the department on a split. So you've had your core functions, which was the branch tourism, which consists out of 68 officials. That was tourism. But then we've also split, then you've had in the department your support services, which are your HR, your finance, and all of that. That we've split on a pro rata basis between the ministry and the 68, on a pro rata basis of 26% of the personnel to come to the Department of Tourism, and 74 has been retained. So that is how the split has happened. Based on that, we've then divided the social responsibility program around a split of 35% to 65%. That was based on the fact of what was tourism projects and what was environmental projects. So that split was not done on the normal split. So we then, out of that, developed a new establishment, because for the splitting process, we need to submit a vision of an establishment where we would like to see us. So from where the Department of Environment Affairs and Tourism had one branch, 68 people dealing with tourism, we envisage now to have three branches. One that will deal with tourism growth, one with tourism development, and one with research, monitoring, and evaluation. So the new establishment is built for that. What we've also requested, President, is that it should be a phase-in process for us to fill the posts over a three-year MTF, because you need to have certain posts in place to get to the next level. So what we've decided is that we've gone for your senior post, and in some areas like rural development, which is a high priority, to make sure that we deal with those issues that are high priorities. So basically what we've done is that, and what Rob was referring to, is that we've then, out of the additional 10 million, and by us having, what we've also done, when we've taken over the post, we've taken in your support services almost all the vacant posts. So we've got the money, but not necessarily the bodies. And we've realigned those funds to fit where we need to deliver on the core issues. So this is how we could manage to sort of now almost get into a position of 100 posts to be filled. On the question of the DG, the cabinet will decide today who will be the director general. It's in the cabinet, so most probably there will be an announcement tomorrow by the minister who he or she will be. So I'm acting till most probably the 1st of May. To say that, that is as far as the vacancy. On the social responsibility expanded public works program, there's two. We've had what they call the expanded public public works program, which we call in our terminology the social responsibility program. That is a program that focuses on job creation, where at least 30% of that funds needs to go into jobs. A certain percentage, I think it's about 7%, into training. Then you've got a specific amount that's been earmarked for the managing of the program, and the rest if you want to set up infrastructure. That is the social responsibility program. But I think, as you know, that the Department of Environmental Affairs and Tourism was one of the leaders in the social responsibility program and the spend versus delivery. So the Treasury has then also now set aside funds for what they call an incentive program. If you perform, the departments will get that money. And the Department of Environmental Affairs and Tourism has then received $64 million, which has been split in half, $32 million to tourism and $32 million that has been retained by environment. That has got a new criteria. What they want is more jobs, and that money cannot be used for, like, infrastructure. Like, if in the past, we might have put up some fences around Kruger. You create SMEs to maintain the fences, but you also create a lot of jobs. So you can no longer put the money into the infrastructure. They are looking for where you can be creative in sort of having jobs created. I mean, a good argument for this might be paving, where you use a lot of labor-intensive works to incentivize in the areas that there's high poverty. So the incentive program is with strict guidelines that are saying they've given us $32 million. They only give us $2 million in the first 2 months. You need to prove to them that you've spent it. Then you will get the money. So that's an earmarked one across all government departments. Those departments who don't deliver, the money will be taken away, and it will move where you can perform. So that's the difference about the social response. So it's two programs, and we have quite a lot of projects. In fact, the funds for this year is fully committed of, because it's a long-term planning process. You can't just plan on 1 year. It's normally going over 2 or 3 years where you support trusts, setting up support roads, structures, and these things, and having joint ventures. So that's the difference between the expanded public works and the incentive program. The budget of SIT, I think they can present the detail. The budget is basically being earmarked into three areas. One is for international marketing. The second one is for financial assistance, which supports your buildings, the accommodation, salaries, and those sort of issues. And then the grading council is part of SIT. So they used to have a very small budget of about $6 million. For doing grading of all establishments in South Africa. That one has been increased extensively, although it's not sufficient yet. Just to say that the cut on SIT side, and I think they can speak for themselves, had an impact of SIT moving perhaps to other areas and setting up international marketing offices. And it's something that they will have to relook at to see what is the value, because we are... SIT's mandate is to market South Africa internationally. Then the oversight part of that, there's the department has got what we call governance agreements, where they do have to comply according to the normal prescripts of compliance as per the PFMA. There's bilateral meetings between the accounting officer of the National Department and SIT. Then there is meetings between the minister as executive authority with SIT. They are supplying their quarterly financial statements to the department, and the minister needs to approve that before that can be submitted to National Treasury in accordance with the prescripts. And then on the board, myself has been appointed on the board of SIT representing the department to ensure that what's happening as the board, as an account officer, that's a link between the department. So I think that we are quite covered around the accountability on all the entities, even in the old department and in the new one, around that process. And then, Rob, I think you can deal with the budget. Thank you.
Before you continue, Honourable Mbuni, did you want to make a follow-up on what was being said?
I just want to find out how do they determine the amount that they give each department, the incentives, or the treasury determines it. I don't know.
There's two. The SRPP program, I was honored in setting that up way back in, I think, 1996. We started with 35 million. And as we progress, Treasury has moved the money. If you perform, they've given the department. So we are in the region of almost 800 million for DEANT, the old one. And in our case now, it's 297 million. So that's been determined by Public Works on performance. The incentive one is something new that they have. Then we had to go and present to them proposals of how we visualize we can create jobs if they give us more money. And based on what we've presented to them and how we've sold ourselves, they have given the department funds for that. But you need to sort of define to them how you will deal with that. And if I can share it with the committee, one of the incentives that we are thinking, there's a big shortage of cooks in South Africa, or chefs. And it's for us, we can use the incentive scheme and the process to create that environment for people to be trained, because it will fall within that incentive. It's a skills-based program, and we're working on that now as one of the major projects that we would like to take forward. And that is linked to the CETAs, which say, there's also a shortage of chefs in South Africa. If you go to any hotel, you'll find very few South Africans who are the chefs in that sort of environment. So the incentives program can focus and can support us in delivering on those shortages around skills. But at the same time, you can link it up at specific areas, more specific in the rural areas, where you can create job facilities around information centers. So I think there's a lot of room if we are creative in dealing with that. I hope I've answered that.
There's also part on our compliance with the PMA and the Treasury regulations. I also sit on the audit committee of SA Tourism as part of our oversight. And then, Mr. Adams, I think what happens with that specific program, if you look at the amount there for projects, Treasury has only allocated in the last year 215 million for our expanded public works projects, and that's why there's in the last year there's that decline in the budget. But we will definitely still fight them in the next MTF to up that amount, because we think we need more money.
Chair, perhaps, although it looks bleak, we're one of the few departments who receive additional money, except your education and those, I mean, environment affairs budget has been cut by 100 million. And most of that cuts has been affected into your entities, Sandpark, Sunby, Isimango Lisu. So I think although we are saying we don't have enough, if we look at the broader picture in government, I think at least we've got something as a new established department. But I must say also, it's how you fight the system in Treasury. You need to be in their faces to make sure that they know. Yeah. So, but I think that our sister department or our mother department has got the wrong end of the stick around at the, in the cuts. And it will have impact because if they take money from your parks, parks are the product for tourism. It's having an impact directly. So it's something that I assume their portfolio committee will deal with. Thank you.
Another one, Lee.
Mr. T, we were, now when we were in Brazil, it was actually quite interesting to see that in their parliamentary buildings, they had the hotel school instead of a system within the system. And the food there was absolutely exquisite. And maybe this is the thing that we should also look at in our parliament, because we could do with the upgrade. Part of the incentive.
Yeah.
No, thanks very much. I think that is why we take the study talks. The issue I'd want to check also would be the issue, as a new department, how are you dealing with the issue of your regional offices? What's going to happen? Where? We have this money now. I'm interested to know where would be the real tourism office be in KwaZulu-Natal. Another issue would be the coordination of marketing in South Africa. We have SAT, Gauteng Tourism, KZN Tourism, and also we have municipalities. I can tell you there is a committee in Parliament that is called PGIR, Parliamentary Group on International Relations. It has taken a decision that all these twinnings and what, because everybody is doing everything, it's going to stop it. I think it's going to do the same with the tourism, marketing of tourism. Because you cannot have South Africa being marketed by SAE Tourism. And then you get a municipality going overseas to market its own corner without consulting, you know, as if South Africa is the country of South Africa. How do you plan to deal with this thing? And just on a lighter note, the issue about chairs, I attended the thing that was in Durban, that was attended by the deputy minister. I can't remember what was it, the Durban Expo. There was this training in chairs, and it was for school kids. I actually attended that. But why are all best chairs in the world males?
Let me mean belong, Mr. Chair.
At least we can't be pregnant.
And I will finally again.
Mr. Chair, may I just ask Mr. Van Schalkwyk?
Never mind.
These incentive programs, I hope it's not all on infrastructure and paved streets and that sort of thing, but it is tourism related. And that my question is therefore, is there somewhere a learnership in for local municipalities? Because local municipalities are now big. They consist of, like in Koga, we've got 5 tourism offices, but nobody can afford to have a fully fledged tourism officer there. So we have information officers. Somebody that says, there's the chemist, there's the beach, and you show them on the map. We've got so many students studying tourism. Can we not bring some of them as a project into local municipalities and assist local municipalities to pay for them? Because it is not working. Tourism is not working in local government in the smaller municipalities. Maybe in Leisner and maybe in the metros, but definitely not elsewhere.
Thank you so much, Chair. I think my question is to the
international marketing, okay, as the shortfall and all the traffic with the SA tourism, is there any more possibility, maybe there's a joint force with your department and the embassy?
Okay, Mr. Foster.
Thank you, Chair. The national department is a national department, so we haven't got regional offices. According to the constitution, the provinces has got a mandate to deal with tourism. So basically, you've got 9 departments. Most of them are fitted into your economic affairs component. So, and I think that's where one of the problems comes around, funding streams into them. The second thing is that you've also got 9 marketing agencies in each of the provinces. And I think I've taken note of your concerns, and I will answer that question. So, but we do have, for the SRPP program, regional offices. So we set it up in all the provinces, and with the split, we have now sort of split the offices as well, but we are sharing offices. Like in the Western Cape, the office belongs to Environment Affairs, but the tourism people are housed in there. In KwaZulu-Natal, the office has been allocated to tourism, but we accommodate Environment Affairs officials in there to be cost-effective. So we do have offices in all, or representation on our social responsibility in all 9 provinces. In some provinces, like the Northern Cape, which are quite a sort of a big area, we've got an office in Upington, and we've got an office, say, in Kimberley. But we're sharing those sort of services. So that's the only regional offices we have. Then, as far as marketing and coordinating of marketing, and my colleagues can come in, is that SAT's mandate is international marketing. Government or cabinet has approved last year that there will only be 1 marketing strategy and 1 marketing emblem that will be used for marketing South Africa International. And I think exactly the point the chair was raising was one of the concerns, that everybody goes and market their little, but we don't market South Africa. So SA Tourism's mandate, as per the present act, is to market South Africa. The draft bill we are working on is emphasizing that. And, Chair, I think this is the right time now for us to make sure that we capture the concerns you've raised around marketing and who's responsible and how it works in the new legislation. Because it's vague, the present act only talks to SAT. But in the new draft that we have been working on, and in fact that I will present to the Minister on the 15th of May, where after we're now getting to the structures, is that we've identified the roles of national and provincial. We would like to see that as a national act, and that promises build on that, similar to what we've done with the Protected Areas and Biodiversity Act, and that your regulations, NECs can issue regulations, but it should be in concurrence with the national minister so that there's alignment. And I think that's the things we've started to build into the new legislation. At this stage, it's an in-house document that we are working on, and it's also been informed by the strategy that we presented of what needs to come into that process. So that deals with that issue. The issue about municipalities, they still are, for us and nationals, sometimes problematic, because your municipality are part of the local government structure. And then when you get to provincial structures, they say, but we need to work through the provincial structure to get to the municipality. Now, we know from my previous experience with Environment Affairs, it's much better sometimes to work with the municipality in which area, protected area, because you can deal with those sort of issues. So I think it's more issue from the constitution and how we will deal with that is. But I think that if we are creative, we can overcome those sort of burdens in dealing with that. I'd also like to know the answer about why is men good chefs. But then The incentives, if I can just answer the incentive question, I don't think the intention for us is to, I've just used that as a possibility around paving. But the money needs to be used within the mandate of tourism. So tourism has got a specific vision and mission and a mandate. So your money needs to be utilized in that area. And I think this is why it's a little bit more challenging for us, because tourism is broad. And how do you affect that? And then you've also had compliance issues. You cannot give money to a municipality to do something.
No,
apart from that, it disappears because there's another act that's managing them. But I mean, there's no reason why the department cannot have a person on an establishment by a service provider to deal with those things. So I think that we can deal with that. And I think that's a very good example. The question for us as a national department is, where do you start so that people don't see that as preferential treatment? So when we deal with that, we need to go through structures, most probably the MIPTEC structure, and get signed in by the provinces and identify the areas, because we cannot put either myself or the minister or the department at risk and say we give preferential treatment there. But I think the point that's been made is something that we will have to look into, because I think that is one of the areas we can really improve and make sure that we get people who are educated, who are not taken up into the markets, into the tourism industry. Then my colleagues may excuse me that I'm asking that, the CEO has asked me if there's any policy issues that I need to deal with that as far as SAT is concerned. There is close relationships between the embassies and SAT. One of the challenges we've had is that, for argument's sake, is that we wanted the SAT office in London to be based in the embassy. From a cost perspective, it would have helped us a lot, because they've got room for that. But embassies have got specific diplomatic status, while your SAT offices are an office that's been granted permission in accordance with the normal trade and industry. So even our minister had a meeting with the minister of Turco to try and resolve that problem and say that we would like in some instances to have them hosted in the same one. But due to the normal rules of diplomatic relations and embassies, that could not happen. So there is good relationships between the embassies and SAT, but the hosting of the offices are not within embassies.
The High Commissioner actually refused South African tourism to be housed at the embassy in London, because we've been trying for years to actually get into the UK embassy office in London, and it's been unsuccessful.
Yeah, I hope I've given answers to all of that.
I see there are follow-ups. They want to see offices in London, honourable members. Honourable Cheng as the initiator, then Honourable Van Lingen, Honourable Mazaman,
yeah,
and then Honourable Mgoni.
Thanks so much, Jay. I can now understand where the difficulty about that. You know, when you go overseas and you see all the different offices which is all spread out, and I really feel, you know, that is really a cost-effective point of view. And besides that, Jay, I think I would like to take this opportunity, maybe the Mr. Pansika Fagner will give us some of the detail, due to this Shanghai export, what is your department, you know, or is it South Africa we participated in that event?
From Leon.
I have been dealing in the Eastern Cape with through an inquiry that I got with a person who deals with the Tinatha Narco Fund. Are you aware of that fund? It's a fund for tourism and economic upliftment projects. And if you're not, then maybe we must communicate about this afterwards, because I have gone through the Department of Trade and Industry. It's European funded, and it was 800 million euros. And since our initial training in Pretoria with DDI until now, I have not found the overriding national body who delegates the funding to the Eastern Cape. And when I get to the Eastern Cape, my questions are just wiped off the table and my queries. So I've now got questions into Parliament to the Minister, but maybe if we communicate about this, then my questions will get answered eventually. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I hear the answer that there's a member who sits on the Audit Committee of SAT and there's a member who sits on the Board of SAT. The Board of SAT, how is that constituted and who by it? Does the Minister appoint the members of the Board, all of them, and how does the Minister go about doing that? And then the budget of, you haven't answered my question about the budget of SAT. How is the money spent? We're not seeing that. And if it isn't available now, could we get a detailed budget for SAT for us to look at? And then, Mr. Chairman, the question of coordinating activities in different spheres of government is a difficult one. This is a constitutional matter. This is not a matter of some national legislation which can determine what other spheres of government can do if it is indeed in their mandate. And you're saying that certainly at provincial level there's a mandate to deal with tourism. You haven't really indicated what the local government mandate with regard to tourism is. And I think one must be cautious about trying to fix a problem by changing the constitution. If there are political issues at municipal level, and we know there are, then that's a political issue and we need to change it, probably through the ballot box, but through other means. But one can't go and fiddle with constitutional matters to deal with poor political activity in a particular sphere of government. So I look forward with interest to this bill that you're going to present, because from our point of view, the party, we'll oppose anything which tries to centralize the things at a national sphere of government. So that's my caution there. But I'm really interested to see the SAT budget, and then I'll be able to look at what activities they're involved in.
Thank you, Chair. There's an outstanding question on the business trust that was not answered. And my question actually was prompted by the fact that there's also that national business initiative of which also funds are transferred into for SME development. And the business trust in there also in this document, it says also for SME development. My question is, why did you duplication, if it's duplication? And also, if they can tell us how many projects are in place or on the ground as far as this business development per province, if possible, if they know from the top of their heads, and how much funding per province is there available. This also rising from the question that I asked before, I don't remember whether I was answered or not, to say the policy or there's the departmental policy that they fund, or rather there's enterprise development, it's not commensurate, or rather it's commensurate to the tourism in that particular province. For instance, in the Western Cape, there might be more tourists and there's more funds for development, whereas in the Northern Cape or Free State, there's less tourism and there's less funds for development. How are they actually dealing with that policy to develop SMMEs or small enterprises in less, towards provinces?
Just next to you, Honourable Mbuni, that Honourable Member can introduce himself. We have talked about his province.
You must please discipline these liberals from the DA. They always attack me. Sorry I'm late. Chairperson, I've just got one question, and I suppose it wasn't raised. I'm not like Senior Van Rensburg, but I know they wouldn't, the department would not have raised this issue. Between the Northern Cape, the Eastern Cape, and the Free State, there was a project that was called Lake Gariep Initiative, and a substantial amount of money was allocated through various resources to this specific project. Now, apparently, nothing has been nothing materialized of that. It was in the previous around about 2005, 2006, almost 600 million rand was allocated to that specific project. Now, because of differences between the provinces and the district municipalities that's involved in that, it seems that the project didn't get off the ground. What is the status of the Lake Gariep Initiative project? Thank you.
And you didn't introduce yourself.
I'm sorry, Kenneth Sinclair, Northern Cape.
And I'm sure that SA Tourism would come in also on the issue of marketing and whatever, just to add something. But to say that on the issue of this coordination, it is really about the country. I don't think something political, because I can tell you on international relations, if one municipality goes to Australia, makes an agreement, which the country is not aware of, it signs on behalf of the country, only to find that something needs to be done by the country. So it complicates matters. That's the issue of more especially the twinning things and the agreements. They twin, they agree without the relevant Department of International Relations knowing. And things then have got to learn. South Africa is one country and it's not a federal country, so far.
Right, for 2005.
Chair, thank you. I've missed out on the export question, but perhaps I can just get clarity on that one.
But on the export, it is just to say, is the department taking part of
I think Bulewa can answer that one. I must say I'm trying to be educated by them to become a tourism person. And I'm still, this is why we've got a big team here to help us. Then on the Tinaco Fund, I've heard about it, but perhaps they can tell me. But just to say that if it's donor money, that funds will go to National Treasury. And then National Treasury, whoever is the executing authority, if that is the Eastern Cape government, the money will flow directly to them. And they will be accountable to National Treasury. So all donor funds goes through the donor, through National Treasury, and it's from there allocated. Preferably, all donor funds should follow through a national department so that there's a link into that. But sometimes, I think like the chair said, sometimes entities go directly, and they sign agreements, and that causes. So the normal process around, just process-wise, if it's donor funds from the EU, it will go through National Treasury, and the EU office in Pretoria will know most probably manage that one. So I can look into that and to sort of determine from National Treasury through role how the money is flowed, and we can feed that back to the committee. Appointments of the board. The board has been appointed by the minister in accordance with the Act. How it normally works is that the Act also says that people need to be capable of working in the environment. It's 8 to 12 members of a board. It's normally advertisement that's going out. People then nominate themselves. Based on that, there's a screening process. Once the committee has been appointed, then it goes to cabinet. Cabinet approve it. So all boards are approved by cabinet, and then they are there. It's normally for the 3 or a 5 year period. So that is the board, and in the case of SIT, they are accountable. I think there's only one entity where the board is not accountable, but the CEO is accountable. That's Isimango Lisu. But that's in other part. Then I think the just to sort of say that the new act of or the bill that we are working on is not to sort of get to the concept of centralizing, but to get processes correct, that we know how it works. And I think the chair is quite correct that only the president can authorize somebody to enter into international agreement. So even you get provinces who goes on cross-border initiatives, and even if a minister signs, it must be approved by the president who signs it, and the international lawyers in foreign affairs needs to approve that agreement. So there's quite a few of these problems that normally crept up. But I think that's been dealt in accordance with other legislation. Our legislation is to streamline processes and to be clear on what is the national mandate and what is the provincial mandate, recognizing the constitution as a departure point. Then the business trust, just to sort of give some background, is that I think it was in 1994-1996, industry and government get together and they've established the business trust at that stage to sort of look into transformation of industry, of which tourism is one of that. So the business trust is in partnership with our department in developing what we call the Tourism Enterprises Program. And they are looking at setting up businesses, supporting the new up-and-coming enterprises, give training, and that's why money has been earmarked. For the coming years, 40 million, 20 million, and 25 million. And we have negotiated with them because they would have got 40 million and 45 million in next year. And then basically their contract will come to an end. What if they negotiated due to the financial constraints to give them 20 in the second year and 20 in the outer year? But if we go to our strategic plan, what we've done now is that we've also given them clear key performance areas that they need to deliver on. In the past, they used to come with a business plan and they say, this is what we will deliver on. We've now turned it around and say, we would like you to set up new projects, because they were not there to set up new enterprises. They were there to sort of taking emerging enterprises to a next level. We've now said, we want you to set up new enterprises. Of the 10 you want to set up for next year, 8 of them should be in the rural areas. So in our stat plan, we've now defined that one. That is the one around the business trust. The business initiative, I would ask Bolewa to respond to that one. It was a line item that we've taken over, and in some of these issues we are reviewing, because you inherit something and you need to review to make sure that there's no duplication, because we in our department also got a tourism project development unit, and the TEP program from Business Trust will fit in there, so they will be merged to be aligned with what we would like to achieve as far as the government's mandate is concerned. Lake Harik, I know about that project long ago, and I know there was a lot. I can't tell you the detail. I'll have to follow that up. What I know is it's not on the tourism books. And what I can tell you, it was not on the environmental books. So I don't know what happened to that project. Normally what happens, because if it was a project that was to be funded out of HRPP, we normally give a lead time to move. If there's no movement, that money will be reallocated where you can make a difference. So I think that I will come back to the committee and the member to try and find out what has happened to the Lake Harik project. My assumption is that this was a water affairs project and not an environmental tourism project. But I know that in the cross-border issues, at one stage, I supported in some sort of legal matters around this. But I will follow it up and determine where it is vested. My prediction is that it's linked to the lake there. It will be within the water affairs, most probably mandate. But I'll come back to you. Then, Bolewa, if you can just respond to those two. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. In response to the Shanghai Expo, this is an annual trade show, and the participation of South Africa is actually secured through South African Tourism, which is actually our marketing agency. So they actually ensure that we do have the participation of the business sector there, because really it's all about ensuring that there's business linkages and there are deals that are being clinched. So SAT, they actually participate very actively there. With regards to the NBI, which is the National Business Initiative, we are having a project that we call the National Tourism Careers Expo, which is a project that is meant to create a platform between the industry, the educators, the learners, so that there is that active dialogue, so that educators and learners, they begin to get to appreciate tourism. They begin to regard tourism as one of the careers that they can choose. We started with this initiative in 2008. So we work through NBI. They are actually project managing the implementation of this initiative. Thank you, Chair.
Let's see if you've got a good CFO. You've just gone through all the stats. There is two, like, cloudy projects in the environment side. we will follow up. I see that was 3 million and 2 million rand that was been allocated from the SRPP, so I'll follow it up.
That's SRPP,
provinces does not need to go on the showcase of Africa. We can just take that photo and showcase of Africa.
Just to touch on basically what we spend DIT's money on, DIT's money on, of the 631 million that Ralph has touched on that is transferred to SA Tourism, if you can just see the breakdown. As you know, our mandate is to basically market South Africa as a preferred destination. So the bulk of our money we will spend on international marketing. Which is included in our, in that figure of our 601. I don't know if everyone can see that. And then the difference is spent mostly in our support. So that's mostly how our business is conducted and where most of our money is spent on international marketing based on portfolio reviews that are done and research that are done on into our different markets as to which markets we would spend our funds on.
A detailed breakdown of the marketing budget can be seen on the slide here, where you can actually see for 2010-11 how much money will be spent in the different markets. So that is
You'll see the different overseas markets. This is as based on extensive research and portfolio reviews that are done every 3 years where we would invest. Those are basically our core markets, your Europe and your Americas. Those are our core markets where we spend most of our money. And also included in the funding that we receive from tourism, we has included a grading council, which has a budget of 15 million. And if anyone has a question or would like to go into detail.
On our list.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When you say you spend the money in those various countries and so on, what do you spend it on? Is it on people in offices? Is it on adverts on television?
That is our primary mandate is to market South Africa and create a brand and perception about South Africa. So that's what the money is spent on. The difference in terms of offices and support, our actual staff, that would fall under our support budget, which is our overhead budget, which is not part of that 601 odd million that you see there. the 601 million is basically I don't know whether you want to know about projects that we actually do, or
whatever the money spent on.
Basically, actually intend to join marketing agreements with the different service providers all over the world. And in terms of those joint marketing agreements, there's different core activities, basically, whether you're actually going to have fam trips or there's going to be workshops, exhibitions, etc. So it will actually differ from country to country. But if you guys want the detailed project list per country and what exactly the money is spent on, that's easily available. You just need to go back to the offices and do a little summary and actually show you. In China, for example, this is what we spend. In the UK, this is what we spend on. So that breakdown is available in a detailed format.
In China, what would you be doing, for instance? Just give us an example. The Shanghai Expo.
Okay, I'm not so familiar with the Shanghai Expo, basically, like in China, we do hosting, we have fam trips. There's a whole lot of cool marketing activities that we actually do in China. So, I mean, it will differ from one segment to the other segment, depending on the type of markets that we actually want to segment. Like, for example, if you take like the business tourism trade of China, depending on the season as to when there's a specific function on business tourism and how we actually want to market South Africa within that segment, it will work on a season depending on the different platforms.
Sorry.
Yes.
As you explained about there's some booklets who were printed and introduced as a tourism. I just want to find out, obviously they're in a different language. Do they have any more printing in Chinese? Do you have any more booklets, in Chinese language?
For the different offices that we actually work in, English is not number one language. I mean, like in China, it could be Chinese, Japan, it could be Japanese. So we have brochures and booklets about South Africa in that specific language, which actually has an overview of exactly what South Africa is and how we market South Africa, the different graded establishments, etc., etc. So, what exactly do you want to see? Do you want to see a list of establishments in South Africa that one can visit, or all of that? Okay.
Chair, and I think I need to sort of apologize that Kandiwe could not make it, but in the strategic document that SIT presented, for instance, I was just looking at it quickly, use to trade to grow our business. So in this one, they were indicating in Europe in 2019, trade trained in the country was 2,354 people. Then trade trained in the country of the Americas was 778. So it's about how they get people involved in the trade, and I think that's what you're looking for. You're looking for the details of what it is. There is participating in expos where they market, like the national expo, say, in London. SIT will be there, and they will there be the forum to market. Like in Davao, it's coming up in 2 weeks' time, where we are marketing South Africa. SIT is also part of that marketing in there, because in fact SIT is hosting it. So I think if need, we can request SIT to give us one of or two examples of how the money is spent, because I think that's the clarity that the members need to sort of understand on what the money is spent. What is personnel expenditure, what is the goods and services part, and for what purpose they are utilizing the money. But the earmarked money for marketing are purely for marketing purposes, while your financial assistance is for managing the support services for that. On the document that was presented at the workshop by SIT, there's quite a lot of detail in there around per area that they're dealing on. And then they've had the details budget there for each of the groups. But I think for the purpose of the question, we can deal with that. And I'll request SAT to sort of draft the response then based on the question.
In actual fact, I was going to say that to the honourable members, we're still going to call SAT because today it was the department's, you know, day just to present this budget. Now, out of their presentation in the budget, this is so much they give to SAT. So we're going to call SAT to give a full briefing, and then we'll interrogate them on that. Just as soon as it's on our list.
Thank you for that clarity, Mr. Chairman, and that will be great. But I'm intrigued by one of the comments made about fan trips or something like that. Oh, not fan. Because I was wondering how I became a fan.
You look bigger.
But you know, we abide by your ruling and we respect it. But I just got one question quickly to ask SAT. Are you currently involved in the book fair that's happening in England at the moment? That's ending today. The book fair. Well, I thought that SAT would have been involved in there because the book fair this year that's happening in the UK specifically involves South Africa. It revolves around South Africa and about South Africa. And I think it was a golden opportunity because you got all the writers from all across the globe that's there and to market also the SA as a tourist destination.
After that.
Thank you, Chairperson. The department indicated that they use service providers for this marketing and so on. What process do they use or SAT use to procure those service of those service providers? Then the second question is, and maybe it was raised earlier, but if it was raised, then please ignore it. Yesterday in one of the papers, there was a front page story about the tourists that staying away. I think it was the Times or something. Was that question asked correct? No. So, Chairperson, it's of, that's not referring to the 2010. And it's of great concern now. I don't think it's anything to do with the volcano in Iceland.
No.
But maybe it's to do with the other volcano here in South Africa called...
The dilemma
or, I don't know, but the critical question is, what is the expectation of tourists for 2010 Soccer World Cup? And is there a tendency that people is starting to decline the opportunity to visit South Africa? Thank you.
That question, I think the first one will be directed to SAT. I'm sure they'll deal with that when they do a presentation. But the second one, it was not answered, but it was asked that there are reports that the number of tourists is either going down, it's not as expected, as Honorable Sinclair is saying. They actually quoted that we anticipated to have 500,000, now we stand at about 220,000. I think that's the question that he's posing.
Service providers.
Sorry, Mr. Chair, can I just add on to that?
My apologies. Yes, thanks.
I'm not in the kitchen. Mr. Chair, I'd actually like to add on to that last question because to what extent are our tourists now cancelling because of security? I was asked in Brazil, how safe are our women folk, or are they all going to be raped because we've got such a high percentage of rape in South Africa? Security is a big issue for tourists, and and the volatility of the dilemma is a big dilemma for tourism in South Africa. We can also see that there was a build up by the number of match beds given back to sand parks. 3,000 in the beginning of December and 21,000 in the beginning of March. And I think there's more to come. So I'm very worried about that one. And I want to know if we've got any redress on match for especially when it comes to sand parks. They had to do a certain amount of refurbishment, and they were working on that income, and now there is nothing. So is there a kind of redress? Because I didn't see any of that in the contract. And then I want to know, is there any department or any committee going to Indaba to see what's happening, and can SAT inform us of what their theme is this year and what markets they're directing the issue at, and the basic thing of the presentation at Indaba. Thank you.
Chair, on service provider, both SAT and the department needs to comply with the Public Finance Management Act as far as procurement is concerned. So if you want a service provider within the delegated powers, you need to deal with that. If it's above, I think, 500,000, then it needs to be an open tender. It needs to go through the tender process. So the same principles applies both on Sandparks and SAT. They are as compliant to PFMA as we are. They are an entity of the Public Finance Management Act. The issue about whether there's less or more people coming, I think there's a lot of comments made in the newspapers. The reality is that I think it was about a month ago, there was only 700,000 tickets not sold. So if you work on the basis of the tickets sold, then the numbers are still coming, because except if they give their tickets away. The issue about match, what matches did is that, and I think what we also need to clear is that match is under the FIFA umbrella, and the LOC is the umbrella in government that's dealing with match. So tourism is only dealing with the accommodation part as part of the guarantee. What we have to guarantee is that there will be sufficient accommodation in the areas, which we've proved there is sufficient accommodation. The reality is that most of your soccer fans are not people coming and staying 4 and 5 in great hotels. They are preferred to go, like what I used to say, backpackers. If it wasn't winter, they might have slept in the parks, a lot of them. So I think that's the reality. Sandparks has put in basically two camps, Bath and Dal and part of Skukuza, for the match purpose. What also has crystallized is that a lot of these people who's coming are coming for the match, and not necessarily are environmentalists who likes to go to the parks, because there was even accommodation across the border. And our minister visited Zimbabwe last week with press and people to sort of expose what Zimbabwe can offer. So I think the reality is that we haven't got a count as far as tourists. And even in government, we were saying that we need to start focusing on what amounts we are talking. Because the LOC will say there will be 300,000. The prediction from FIFA is 400,000. It's between that sort of region. So I think the proof of the pudding is when the event happened. What we need to know as South Africa is that we can accommodate sufficient or people that can come to the events. I'm not going to sort of elaborate on the security plans and all those issues. I am sitting on the LOC for the tourism president, and I must say that I'm quite impressed of what South Africa has done in preparing. And I think you can prepare and you can manage all risk up to the point that something happens that you haven't planned for. So I think that as far as security is concerned, and we all as South Africans need to sort of be the positive part in sort of embracing that issue. In Indaba, Sandparks can... Oh, SAT. You can see I'm coming from the environment side. I'm used to work with Sandparks. SAT can give us details around Indaba?
The detailed program for Indaba, we do have like a presentation which we can actually forward through to you guys, and we will invite you guys formally to Indaba. The opening is on the Saturday, which is I think the 8th of May. So you guys can actually see exactly what's done at Indaba and like a high level overview. So I will just get you details from all the details from. Where do I get all the details from? Okay.
Just to say that the president will do the opening on the 7th. And I think, Anami, the theme, can you explain? But what we will do is that by before close of work tomorrow, we will make sure that from SIT we get a detailed program to the committee so that you know when what is happening. This year there will also be quite a few SADC countries that will be coming to the event. It starts on the 7th officially, the 8th. I told the 12th. 11. Okay. I must say this is also my first time that I'm going to go to the Indaba, so I'll be educated.
It's taken from the past. This is urban.
Another one, Nyambi.
Sorry, Chair. The theme for Indaba is Play the Ball, the overall theme. It's from the 8th to the 11th of May, and there's a detailed program on their website in addition to the information that they will send you, southafrica.net.
Thank you. I don't think the question of the estimate of figures is correctly answered. I don't know why, because I thought at this level we might be privy to some information that would make us to be empowered. It's a fact that we know that we will be having 31 countries in South Africa. It's a fact that you'll have 21 in the Gauteng. It's a fact that you have around 21,000 media people coming to South Africa. And I expect the tourism people to tell us that it's not for the first time that we're going to have World Cup in South Africa. Out of a research, out of informed view, if at this level we can say FIFA is saying this number, LOC is saying this number, then out of a research view, what is the projection? Because there is that view that says some of these countries, when preparing for a World Cup, they go an extra mile, and after a World Cup, you'll find that we are more poor than we were before the World Cup. And I'm of the view that accommodation is prepared based on a particular view that was done, a particular research that was done to say, just because we'll be having this number, then it means in Mpumalanga we'll need accommodation for 200 people. In Gauteng, we'll need accommodation for 6 people. In Northwest, just like that. But if at this level you don't have that information, then it means there's something wrong somewhere, Jefferson.
Yeah, before you comment, we almost raised the same thing in Rustenburg, because quite a lot has gone on to the infrastructure and so on, and England is there. And their prayers are, with all this investment, would support England right through until it reaches the final, when it plays against Mafarana. That would be an ideal situation. So that then your investment has got some returns. But after investing about, let's say for argument's sake, 1 billion, and then in the first round England takes the bet. That's the question I think Honorable Nyambi is saying. We should be having these figures. That is what we also, on our oversight, we check when we go to these hotels and so on. How much did you spend? And so on.
Okay, yeah. my apologies that we've got that detail. I mean, we've done detailed work as per province within a radius of 50 kilometers. We've got it. The only thing is that we came prepared for the budget presentation. So we are, I mean, even if, because Anami was very much involved in that, and we know exactly how many beds and rooms are available in Gauteng within a 50 kilometer radius, within that, link that to the stadium to see how many people will be there. The estimates that has been worked with is between 350 and 400,000. That's the expected tourists to come to South Africa. And the detail in each of the provinces, where the people, where even where the base camps will be, most of the, as you know, most of the teams has opted for Gauteng. Then there's one team who's opted for Kimberley, although there's no host, it's not a host city there. So all of that in detail, and I mean, we're more than welcome to share that with the committee. What I can do, Chair, is that we can make that presentation available to the Secretariat, and I think you can even use that for the purpose of the meeting to Gauteng next week, because it tells us the whole detailed planning around that process, and we get updates from Match around how many tickets has been sold. So that presentation can be made available by close of work tomorrow. We will send it.
Do you agree with that, the honour of funding? Okay, thanks. No, that's fine. And I will, Sinclair?
Okay, I just want to find out in terms of the oversight mandate of the committee, if the department is going to invite us to some of the games. So I'm very serious. I don't know why. The
would have loved to go to the Northern Cape, you know.
There's no
is it Uruguay?
There's no games.
And just to watch Uruguay practice. I'm sure we've raised this matter, Honourable Sinclair. We're still waiting for a report. As soon as we get it, we'll send it to the members. Long term.
But that's only for the people that enjoy soccer, the DA and those people, they don't understand the soccer, right?
I'm not sure. You know, I'm not a DA either. All I know is that South Africa is playing. The DA is behind South Africa. Even Colt is behind South Africa. But South Africa is led by, you know, South Africa. Okay, thanks very much. Honourable members, for the sake of procedure, we've got to accept this presentation of the budget, and we've got to adopt it. So, but just to say that we will invite SAT, and that information will assist us next week, you know, that you have from the department, so that when we go around, we can compare these figures. Thanks very much for that. And I'm waiting for a mover and a seconder. Honorable Ngoni.
I'm over at your seat.
Honorable Ngoni has moved. And support. So this has been supported now. And multi-party support. So you can rest assured that it has been supported. And Sinclair, are you coping with this budget?
For now, I abstain.
No, that's fine. Thanks very much. Also, personally, Acting DG, Honorable Adams, ask this question, but we've come about, gone through that, he has been acting. Our assessment was that he has been a good actor. So he needs to be, you know, we need someone to take decisions. But personally, I wanted to thank him. You know, at the beginning of the year, I phoned you. There was a child who came into my constituency, wanted to study something on maritime, and you advised me who to phone. And I phoned that person, and the child is at school now doing something, University of KwaZulu-Natal, doing something on maritime. It was the first time for me to hear a child from the rural areas coming to say passionately, I want to do this thing. It was something about maritime. There's no river there, there's nothing. But this child wants to study maritime things. So she got a bursary from Water First, and she's studying. Thanks very much, Acting DG, for your advice. Thanks for the presentation. Until we see some of the members, from SAT, when you call them, and from the department. And we wish you the best, Mr. Van Skalvik. But the members would want to also adopt the budget for trade and industry that we did on the 10th. That was presented. Can we do that? Because so that when you close, we just close. You can sit down, Honorable Van Lingen. So that when you close, then we can network one time.
So you will do it with one procedure?
Yes, please.
But I wasn't at that meeting, so I haven't got a vote.
Now you were. Honorable Chen briefed you. Can I move? Can we have a move on that? On the budget for trade and industry?
I move for adoption, Chairperson.
Honorable Nguni moves for the adoption. Any seconder? Honorable Nyambi seconds. Thanks very much. At the meeting, Honorable Sidla?
Yeah, just in terms of this invitation to the Indaba, you know, it's around the corner and so on, so maybe the committee and the staff must just deal with the practicalities. And maybe we must now indicate who can go or who wants to go or so and so forth, you know, because usually it's so booked out and full and so on. That yeah, but this is now internal. It's more logistical matter than... We accept the invitation, thank you, but now we must deal with it internally.
Honorable Sinclair, we still have to get a formal invitation. And before that, the invitation might be coming to members. Or the committee would need to say, because it was not part of the program of the committee. And management would need to see it and say, do we put this into the program? Thanks. The meeting stays adjourned. Honorable members, do you want to do the recommendations? Yesterday's recommendations. I'm going to see this evening.
Okay.
Nice to see the presentation here, eh? Yeah. My father and I came from. My father from Bindu, my mother from